Acts chapter number 10, and we're going to begin reading together in verse number 34, and I'll read verse 34, then you join with me on every other verse, okay? Acts 10, 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And everyone on 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these times that we can open your word. Thank you for the beginning of the church as we've walked through the beginning and Pentecost and the church being established in Jerusalem and then the persecution and then its scattering. And now we see this church in Caesarea amongst the Gentiles, and we're thankful for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Simple title today is A Church Planted in Caesarea. A Church Planted in Caesarea. We learned last week that God had been working on the lives of two separate men. God had been working on Peter's life, preparing him. You remember that sheet came down from heaven, and all in it were all manner of beasts that God said to Peter in a vision, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And there were things in there that Peter would have never dreamed, no pun intended, that he would never dreamed of eating. And yet God did it three times. God was preparing Peter, not necessarily to eat pork, okay? God was preparing Peter to take the gospel to those who were looked down on. Yes, there was a stigmatism, if you will, between Jew and Gentile in this day. And God was preparing Peter that he would not hold back in taking the gospel to a Gentile. At the same time, God was working in the life of a man named Cornelius. He was a soldier in charge of 100 soldiers, the Bible tells us at least. And he was a powerful man, if you will. And yet he was someone, the Bible said, we learned, who feared God. And we learned that, I believe that he was watching the Jews. I believe he was watching the way they conducted themselves. And their light was a blessing and a testimony and a conviction in the life of this man named Cornelius. And God came to Cornelius and said, "Send people to find in a man into Joppa to find a man by the name of Peter. And when they find a man by the name of Simon Peter, who's with Simon the Tanner, then he will tell you what you're supposed to do." We covered all that last week. What was God doing? God was preparing the hearts of two men, but not just to the end with two men. He was preparing the hearts of two men that a New Testament church would be established, that the word of God would go forth, yes, with the Jews and with the Gentiles, that all would be able to come together in Caesarea and a church would begin. And it would begin, if you will, right there in the home of Cornelius. Because we learned last week that Cornelius got his family and got his friends together and he prepared them and said, we're going to have a church meeting. We're going to have church in the house. And the First Baptist Church of Caesarea, you say, was it called that? It doesn't matter. I'm just using that, okay? It was established. But the point is this, God is always working on both ends. When you got saved, God was working in your life. But he was also working in the life of someone else who brought you the gospel. Think about how you received the gospel. Have you ever really sat down and thought about the life? And I know it's not about man, it's not, but it's about God working in man. Would you allow me by way of introduction today to help you and to help me to be able to process just how big our God is? Think about who brought the gospel to you for just a minute. Oh, I know many people may have brought the gospel to you, but possibly there's someone who brought you the gospel. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a layman. Maybe it was a dad or a mom. Maybe it was a grandma or a grandpa. Maybe it was a complete stranger. Maybe somebody knocked on your door. Maybe somebody hollered at you as you're walking down the street. Hey, I've got something for you. I don't know how the gospel came to you, but think about how the gospel came to you and think about an individual or maybe a local church maybe. But then you have to go beyond that and think, okay, what was God doing in the individual's life that brought the gospel to me? And then if there was a way, and we can't really do this, but if there was a way to take that one life and trace it back in every step of the way, how God was working in that person's life, but on the other end, God was working in your life to bring you into the path of that individual on said day. That's how God works. That's how God worked in Caesarea. That's how God worked in Burnaby. I am nobody, but many, many years ago, God saved my soul at the age of 9 years old, and God began to do a work in me, and I would go to camp, and I would go to youth conference, and I would go to Bible college, and again, this isn't about me. This is about God working in me, and God would bring us here back in 1997 to look, and it was in January of 1997, 24 years ago, God would bring us here to this city for the very first time. I have to look it up. It might even have been this week. I know the Super Bowl was on. Sorry, that's how I remember it. Isn't that terrible? And the Super Bowl got moved a week, so I think it's next week that will be the 24th anniversary of our first time in Canada, no less. Our first time here, and we drove around for 5 days, and God began to do a work in my heart, and God began to do a work in the heart of my wife, and God began to do a work in our 9-month-old son. Well, maybe not in his heart. He just wanted something to eat, all right? And God began to do a work, and here we are 24 years later. Some of you got saved at Anchor Baptist Church. Can you just think about this? God working in my life, and I'm nobody, but God working in my life, and God working in your life, and God would bring us into another country, and some of you into another country, and boom, here we would meet. You see, that's how much God loves you. That's how much God loves you today, sinner, that you're not saved and you're on your way to hell and you're going to walk right past the love of God into the lake of fire. And that's what you're doing if you go into eternity without Christ. You're walking right past the love of God. You're walking right past how God has been bringing these things into your life and bringing these things into your view, and that you wouldn't miss God in all this. When I read this story, I think of so many things that God has done in my life and your life, where God brought two people together just like that for the exact time. All along, God's working. All along, God's working. God was working in Cornelius, a Gentile, and God was working in Peter, a Jew. But it wasn't about these two men. It was about getting the gospel to all people. It was about getting the gospel to, at this point, Caesarea, but beyond that, it was about getting the gospel to every city, every country, whether Jew or Gentile. So this is the beginning of something very special. This is the beginning of the gospel, the first church plant, if you will, to the Gentile, to everyone, quite frankly. God deals with his servant Peter. God prepares his heart to preach the gospel to Cornelius. God prepares Cornelius to take the message. Cornelius and Peter are different in many ways. But yet God is working on both of them because our God is the same. He changes not. Cornelius, a Gentile, wealthy, a military man. Peter, a Jew, a fisherman turned preacher. God used them both to write a new chapter in Christian history. This quote, Cornelius needed Peter in his gospel to know how to know he could be saved. Peter needed Cornelius and his salvation experience to know Gentiles were included in God's plan. They needed each other. They needed God the most, but they needed each other. Cornelius needed Peter and his gospel to know that he could be saved. I'm repeating it. And Peter needed Cornelius and his salvation experience to know Gentiles were included in God's plan. Peter preaches a sermon, a very concise sermon. It lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe we learn from this text here, and I would like to give you several things today that have been the passion and been the vision, and I pray they will continue to be as we here at Anchor Baptist Church seek to be strong in faith, giving God the glory. Number one, we learn that salvation is available to all. Salvation is available to all. Verse 34 and 35, the Bible says that Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." But in every nation, would you underline that? Every nation, it doesn't matter what language is spoken, every nation, the salvation is available. What we need today are we need young people, we need middle-aged people, we need not so young people to be praying for laborers. Are you praying for laborers? Is that something you pray for? It is the only prayer request specifically given by the Lord Jesus Christ that he said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I believe salvation is available, but I believe some people aren't learning about salvation because we don't have enough laborers. We need more laborers at Anchor Baptist Church, Abounding Grace Baptist Church in Coquitlam, downtown Coquitlam. I like that. They need more laborers. Metro Baptist Church here in Burnaby, they need more laborers. Every local church needs more laborers, but the harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. Every nation the gospel has gone to, every nation God is willing to save, those that believe on him, salvation is available. I'm thankful that salvation came to the Turner household many years ago. I'm referring back to my grandmother. I'm referring back to my father and my mother. I'm referring back to my childhood. I'm glad that salvation is available. By the way, salvation is available to you. This is something that we must continue to emphasize every day. This is something that every local church must not lose sight of. We have the ability with God's power to make salvation available to everyone. It is available, as Peter said, to every nation. To every nation. It matters not Jew or Gentile. The vision that God sent to Peter made it clear to him that God wanted the Gentiles as well as the Jews to be saved. Cornelius was not a saved man yet, but he was searching with what God had given to him. He was searching with what God, the message that God had put in front of him. Go with me quickly to Ephesians chapter 1. Hold your place. We'll be right back there. But Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us, notice, accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, I want to tell you this morning, number one, salvation is available. God was working in Peter's life. God was working in Cornelius's life to let it be known salvation is available. That salvation is still available today. Are you glad you got saved? Are you glad you trusted Christ as Savior? Think about how God brought that man. Think about how God brought that lady. Think about how God brought the radio preacher and how he saved. Think about how God worked in that if you were able to trace that person's life, the point is this: it's mind-boggling. It's mind-blowing to think about how God worked in someone's life, and then He worked in my life, and He brought us together. Why? Because number one, salvation is available to everyone. Number two, salvation is in Jesus Christ. We know these things. We must be reminded of these things. Salvation is not in Anchor Baptist Church. Salvation is not in your good works. Salvation is not in even coming to church. Salvation is not in baptism. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. In verses 36 to 42, I believe we discover that. I won't reread them. Verse 36, the Bible says, though, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching what? Just like we talked about on Wednesday, peace. Who's the peace by? The Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're praying for peace today, we're really praying that the Lord Jesus Christ would come again, because there will be no peace on this earth apart from through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we as God's children, we have peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit. The third one mentioned. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:12. Let's go there quickly. John 1:12. Maybe you've committed this verse to memory. John 1:12 says, But as many as received Him, the context is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. It was God's plan from the very beginning that His Son, Jesus Christ, would come and be born of the Virgin Mary and die for your sin and my sin. We read about it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. For the very first time, the promise of the Redeemer was made right as man fell. The promise of the Redeemer is made. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. For there is no salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Are you on your way to heaven this afternoon, this morning? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you die, you're going to be in heaven? Earlier we spoke of Larry King, a very famous interviewer on television for many, many years. I knew that he was a Jew. I knew that he was Jewish by birth, you would say. And it was mentioned to me that he was also an atheist at the same time. That almost contradicts itself, doesn't it? I don't know. Unless he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then he's not in heaven today. Now, I don't know. I can't say that on that authority, but I'm saying it doesn't matter what our title is. It matters, have we come to Christ? It doesn't matter how famous we are or not famous we are. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. And there needs to come a day where the peace of God has been made. I want you to see this, please, in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we talked about this on Wednesday night. Romans chapter 5, but I don't think we looked at it in the Bible. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Now, faith, the Bible says of itself, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have I ever seen Jesus Christ? No. How do I know He lives? By faith. But it's not faith in faith. It's faith in the Word of God. In other words, it's not faith in what I think. It's not faith in what I believe even. It's faith in what God's Word says. This book has so many, I don't remember the number, prophecies in the Old Testament, all fulfilled, many, fulfilled just in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way that could just happen by chance. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen? In the beginning, God, that's the point. Before the beginning began to begin, there was only a who. It was God, not the World Health Organization, okay? God. God is the beginning of everything. In the beginning, God created. We have a holy God who will someday be our judge. And by the way, you don't want him to be your judge. You want him to be your Savior. There's a difference. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess someday. We're going to go back to Acts here in just a minute. But let's finish reading Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. This is not the fruit of the Spirit peace. This is the peace that needs to be made with God. Why does peace need to be made with God? Well, how about Romans 6? Look what Romans 6 says. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. How about Romans 5:12? How about Romans 5:12? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon how many men? All men, for that all have sinned. So there's got to be an account has to be made with God. We have to get our account figured out. Right now, according to this, our account is full of sin. And but the songwriter did tell us that the old account was settled long ago. Where was it settled? It was settled at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. We have peace with God, not in a set of rules and regulations, but through a person. Romans 5:1, peace with God through Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is in Jesus Christ. This was the message that Peter brought to Caesarea. This was the message that was brought to you, was brought to me, so that we could be saved. If you're not saved, it's the message that you need to receive today. I can't make you, but I can just encourage you. Come to Christ. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. Let's go back to our text. I want you to see what he said here. Acts chapter number 10, regarding being our Savior or our judge. Look at verse 42. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained by God, that's Jesus Christ, to be the judge of the quick and the dead. The judge. Again, there's going to come a day where every man is going to stand before God. We need to know that our account is settled when we take our last breath. When we take our last breath, when our heart stops beating and we die, Jesus Christ is either going to be the judge of our sin or the Savior. A decision must be made before you take that last breath. I would encourage you today, consider Christ as your Savior. Consider what he's done for you. Salvation is available. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. Number three, salvation, verse 43, salvation is by faith. We've kind of talked about this already. We'll quickly give you this. Verse 43, to give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever, what's the next word? Believeth. That's the faith. Acts 16:31. We're going to see it later on in our study. Acts 16:31. Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? Saved. He was saying, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he is the Messiah. Believe that he is the Savior of the world. Believe that he is the Son of God. Salvation is by faith, that through his name, whosoever believeth. I like that word, whosoever, don't you? That means Cornelius the Gentile and Peter the Jew can be saved. That means Ben the Gentile can be saved. And if you're a Jew out there in WWW land, you can be saved. It matters not. It matters not your background. It matters not your education. It matters not how good you think you are or how bad you think you are. Some people today think, there's no way God could save me. You don't know what I've done. I don't have to know what you've done. Whosoever believeth, the Bible says here, in him shall receive, not might receive, not what, not there's a good possibility, they shall receive, what is it? Remission of sins. Rolled away, the sins are gone. Yes, my sins are gone. How? By the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're gone. Salvation is by faith. It doesn't matter, again, how much of a religious background you have. You can come to Christ today and be saved. This was the message. This was what Peter was commanding commanded to go to, when those two servants went to him and said, our master seeks for you. And God had been working on Peter. God had been working on Cornelius. So that they would know in the land of Caesarea, where that was the Gentiles were, that salvation was available to them. That salvation was not in the Jewish law. It was in Jesus Christ. And number three, that salvation was by faith. And then something miraculous happens. Look at verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on, what's the next word? All them which heard the word. Wait a minute now. You know what we can surmise by this? Let me give you the point. Number four, everyone believed. Okay, now, how do we know everyone believed? Does it say everyone believed in that? Does it say it like that? No, it doesn't. But what does it say? It says that the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. To me, that's a very powerful statement. On all them which heard the word. Would God pour out His Spirit? Would God, and again, this is kind of a time of transition where the Holy Spirit of God isn't just coming on the scene and then leaving and then coming on the scene. The Holy Spirit of God, we see Him come like that in the Old Testament. But now, because Jesus said, if I go not away, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, He will not come unto you. Jesus has already gone away. He's now in heaven as of the writing of this. When this was happening. And so now the Holy Spirit of God was coming when somebody repented and got saved. What they received was eternal life, yes, but they received the Holy Spirit of God. And so anyone that believed, the Holy Spirit of God would fall on them in the sense of would come into their life, they would be possessors of the Holy Spirit of God. So it is my belief that everyone hearing this message got saved. Everyone believed. We know that because the Holy Spirit of God came on everyone. Look at John chapter 7. Let's further this in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John 7. Let's look at verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should what? Receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, as I was just explaining, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Okay, but now in Acts chapter number 10, Jesus has been glorified. So now the Holy Ghost is given. When is the Holy Ghost given? When someone believes. When someone gets saved. So no matter what you've heard out there in other places of other churches that say you get saved and then later you get the Holy Ghost, that is error. That is not true. When you get saved, you get all of the Holy Ghost that you will ever, ever have. You get all of them. Every little bit of him, every big bit of him, however you want to say it. No, we don't get a second blessing later on. We don't get a second filling later on. And all these other, mainly in a sense, Pentecostal, and I'm not saying all Pentecostals are wrong, by the way, or charismatic. I'm not saying all of them are wrong. I'm just saying that there is a doctrine within those two groups that talks about getting saved and then getting the Holy Spirit later. No, they believed in Acts 10 and the Holy Spirit of God came immediately. Immediately. Now, does the Holy Spirit of God have all of me immediately? Probably not. That's why in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That doesn't mean that you lost the Spirit. It means that you've given the Spirit complete control. The Holy Spirit of God's been there the whole time you got saved. But there are days where you decide you're going to live however you want to live. That's not being filled with the Spirit. That's being filled with the flesh. And the Bible says they are contrary, right? They're contrary the one to the other. Whichever one you feed the most is going to be victorious, right? Let the Holy Spirit of God lead in our life. But the point, let's stay on the point. Everyone believe. Believers receive the Holy Spirit at the moment they believe. Look at Romans 8 quickly. Romans 8, verse 9. The Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Romans 8, 9. Romans 8, 9. I think I said Romans 9. Romans 8, 9, sorry. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the point we're trying to make there is that the Spirit of God dwells in us as believers. Immediately following their salvation came baptism. Look at this. Verse number 47, we're back in our text. I know we're jumping around here. Thank you for staying with me. Salvation is available. We're saying the reason why we're covering this today is because this is a church planted in Caesarea, but this is how we want the church at Anchor Baptist to be. We want our message to always be. We want to pattern ourselves after a biblical church, right? That's what we want to be. There's too many times in Christendom where churches have got away from the scriptures in their vision, in their mode of ministry, method of ministry, and so forth. That doesn't mean we can't use technology. Hello, we're using it right now, which they didn't have in the Bible, all right? But it means that this is our pattern for faith and practice in our own lives, but also in the life and ministry of the church. Salvation is available. Salvation is in Christ. Salvation is by faith. Everyone believe. That's what we're seeking. We're seeking people to get saved. We would love everyone to get saved, wouldn't you? Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Notice though, right after verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized. I find that interesting. A lot of times, and I'm one who's done it before, doesn't mean I'm going to change it, but to me, there's a little more emphasis on baptism in the wording here. It isn't just when you're ready, get baptized. If they've already believed, they've received the Holy Ghost, sealed by the Holy Spirit, now Peter says, get baptized. Don't delay. Why? Because we believe that baptism is that very first step of obedience for the believer to identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To let the people know that are witnessing it, what God has done in me, I'm now identifying with outwardly. By accepting baptism, Cornelius and his family were acknowledging to the world that they had accepted Jesus of Nazareth as their Savior. They were accepting a Jew as their Savior. By offering baptism, Peter was acknowledging to the Jews and Gentiles that Peter was acknowledging to the Jews that these Gentiles had indeed received the same faith as the Jews. This was very much about identifying. It still is. And so if you've been saved but never been baptized, I want to encourage you. We can baptize you. We can find a way to baptize you. If you live here locally and you want to be a part of Anchor Baptist Church, we can baptize you. Everyone believe. But then I want to leave you with this thought. Look at verse 48 one more time. Look what it says at the end of it. Then prayed they. Now, this isn't the same word, really, as you're thinking of when we say, let's pray. Okay? Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. In a sense, it's the same word, but it was directed not to God. It was directed to who? Peter. They, I believe, being Cornelius and his household, and everyone that was there that just got saved and got baptized or got saved, the Holy Spirit indwelt them. They got baptized. There was other signs given there. I don't mean to skip over those. Speaking in tongues, it was mentioned there in verse number 46. Again, whenever the Bible talks about tongues, in this case, it's not talking about unknown languages, not talking about a heavenly language. It's talking about a known language, but they would have heard the language that they did not know. I do not know Italian. Brother Yvonne, if you started speaking Italian to me in discipleship tomorrow, I would have no clue what you're saying. You would have to interpret your own words. And the same could be said of most every other language for me. I only know one, barely. But here, the language spoken, it was a language they did not know, but they understood it. That's exactly what happened in Acts chapter number 2. That's not the message for today. But they prayed him. They asked him. Number 5, they were hungry for more. They were hungry for more. This is what I see. This is what I see. I see that Peter has come. God's been working on Peter. God's been working on Cornelius. A crash course, boom, right there in Cornelius' house. It's filled with people. It's filled with his family. We have no idea how many. Peter preaches a message. We've just described that to you. They say, yes, we believe. Holy Spirit comes. Peter says, get baptized. They obey. They get baptized. And then they say, whoa, 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 you're not going anywhere. We want you to stay right here. We want more. Give us more. That's exactly what they're saying. I want you to stay here. I want you to teach me more. What were they saying? They were saying, disciple us. In words that we use today. Teach us more. He wasn't content to hear only the message of salvation. He wanted more teaching. He wanted more preaching. He wanted more truth. He wanted to grow and grow and grow. What a testimony. What a testimony for you. And what a testimony for me. Here's a brand new believer saying to the preacher, don't leave, don't leave. Give us some more. Give us some more. You know what? That's what we need. We need in our church today. We need Christians like you. We need Christians like me. Save for a week. Save for 10 years. Save for 25 years. That say, that's not enough. I need more of the Word of God. I need to rightly divide it. I need to get in it. God, show me what you have for me today. God, make it come alive for me today. God, give me a verse for this year. Give me a verse for today. Give me a verse for this week. God, I want to be hungry. Never being satisfied with what I get today. Tomorrow is a new day, should the Lord tarry. I need bread every day. I need the Word of God every day. Here we see in Caesarea, the very first Gentile church started in a home. The message of Jesus, salvation is available for everyone. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. Salvation is by faith. We see that that message was preached in that entire house. Everyone in the house believed. And then they said to Peter, stay here. We need more of this. Church, we need a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Church, we need to be praying for laborers. Church, we need to let God work on our heart because he's working on the heart of somebody else over here. You say, but I don't see who that is. You think Peter saw who it was? No. But God was working on Peter. God was working on Cornelius to bring them together. And we're talking about it thousands of years later. God's working on you, not just for you. He's working on you, and then he's working on somebody else. He's working on you. Hey, maybe you're single, and you hope someday to be married. Hey, God's working on you. Pray for God to be working on the right man. That's for the ladies, all right? And working on the right lady, that's for the man. Okay, good. We just got to make sure that's clear in 2021. And that God would bring you together, and God would bring you together just at the right time. And you think about how God brought you to your spouse, and how God brought me to my spouse, and we could just sit down and talk all day. Hey, about how God brought a family here. And it can work in so many ways. The sovereign working of God. That's how big our God is. And he wants a relationship with you and with me. And who are we? We're nobody. And yet this big God, this personal God, said, Peter, I've got a job for you. I've got one man. Cornelius. I got somebody that can tell you more. He brought them together. And the Gentile world was transformed forever. Hey, God's working in your life today. You may not see it yet, but he's working in the life of someone else. I could tell you stories. I won't because time is up. I could tell you stories of how God brought people across my path, and I know that it was as divine as can be that it happened right when it did. It wasn't me. It wasn't them. But it was God bringing us together. Oh, yes, there was some faith. Cornelius, he already had feared God. Let's not lose sight of that. We got to let God work. We can say, nah, we're limiting the Holy One of Israel. Jesus was limited because of their unbelief. Cornelius was letting God work. Peter was willing to say, okay, I've never had anything like that to eat, but there must be more to this. Because God was bringing them together. Who is God going to bring into your life in 2021 that he started working on 10 years ago? It will happen. You've got to trust God and believe that God is bigger than what we can see. The church started in Caesarea. The church started in Burnaby. God's got greater works than these to do in your life and mine.